Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and this is For the Record program number 307, titled Silvio Berlusconi, The Return of Il Duce. This alludes to Silvio Berlusconi, who has just been elected prime minister in Italy. Berlusconi has been a focal point of many broadcasts that I've done, and those are available from Spitfire. And Berlusconi, in addition to being a member of the P2 Lodge, was prime minister in 1994 as part of a coalition government involving the Italian fascist part of the Alleanza Nazionale, the direct successor to Mussolini's Fascisti. And we're going to take a look at Berlusconi, his, quote, new unquote government, and the political forces that he represents. I'm going to begin the discussion of Berlusconi by taking a look at an article which, in a sense, places Berlusconi in a larger geopolitical context. This deals with Erich Priebke, the SS officer who had numerous connections to not only the post-war SS Odessa Underground, but apparently also to various intelligence services. Erich Priebke is under house arrest in Italy, and the catalog of his professional and political association will serve as something of an introduction to the world of Silvio Berlusconi. By the way, this has been recorded on June 16th of the year 2001. I concluded with a reading of a section of this article. I concluded for the record program number 306. This article is from L'Espresso of January 18th of the year 2001. It was researched and translated for us by Dave White, our pan-European researcher and translator. The article is by Giorgio Forini. It's headlined, I Have a Nazi for a Friend, and it reads in part as follows, speaking of Priebke and skipping down. Priebke lives under house arrest in the back of a two-bedroom, third-floor apartment in the Aurelio district on the outskirts of the Italian capital. A residence provided to him, quote, for humanitarian reasons, unquote, by wealthy businessman Paolo Giacchini, last name capital G-I-A-C-H-I-N-I. French by birth, but Roman by choice, Giacchini insists his interest in Priebke is not ideological. However, it's rumored in ultra-right circles that the old Nazi has nearly finished his autobiography and will give some of the proceeds from the sale of the book to the Frenchman who has helped him for the past 3 years. Giacchini is in fact president of Homo e Libertà, an association that fights for human rights. Not just any human rights, but the rights of Priebke and two former Terza Posizione terrorists, Mario Tutti and Massimo Morsello. The Terza Posizione is the Italian for third position. We've taken a look at the Terza Posizione and Roberto Fiore and its strong connections, not only to the international fascist milieu, but also specifically to the now-established government of Silvio Berlusconi. More about that later in the program. For a quarter century, Tutti, T-U-T-I, has suffered from the effects of solitary confinement. Morsello, a fugitive, recently returned to Italy because of ill health. The usually reserved Giacchini attended his homecoming party in Fiumicino. Tutti and Morsello are co-founders of the fascist party Forza Nuova, which expects to garner 2.3% of the vote in the next election. Until 1996, when the fur trade was no longer legally supported, Giacchini worked for an animal skin dealer on Via Panisperna in Rome called Sear. That's S-E-A-R. One business client of Sear very nearly cost Giacchini his freedom. Fascist fugitive turned Japanese millionaire Delfo Zorzi, Z-O-R-Z-I, who for years has managed the importation of Italian footwear in Tokyo. Zorzi is accused of organizing the 1969 attack on the Piazza Fontana in Milan. The former member of Ordine Nuovo is only one of five foreign nationals to acquire Japanese citizenship. Zorzi's father-in-law, Fumihiro Shinoji, S-H-I-N-O-J-I, reportedly belongs to the Yakuza. That, by the way, is the Japanese organized crime milieu. Letters to Zorzi reveal that he continued his rapport with the Black Shirts after 1969. Giacchini needn't have worried. His criminal record is immaculate. To investigators, he is a modest intellectual with loads of money. Gianchi is now the sole administrator of G.V. Pactum, a real estate company on Via Leonardo Bianchi. And those are the friends of and political associates of Erich Priebke, the SS officer now under house arrest for a massacre of Italian partisans in World War II. There is a For the Record program dealing with the Erich Priebke case. And in noting Eric Priebke's political and historical milieu, also his social milieu to a certain extent, one should note that that milieu is now part of the governing coalition in Italy. Silvio Berlusconi, the Italian billionaire and media magnate, and also, as we have noted in Miscellaneous Archive Show M61 and also in For the Record 229, a member of the P2 Lodge, something we're going to revisit, Silvio Berlusconi is now Prime Minister of Italy, and the AN, the Alleanza Nazionale, the direct successor to Mussolini's fascist party, as well as the Liga Nord of Umberto Bossi and even more virulent Italian fascist elements, are part of this government. The installation of that government was covered in many newspapers, among them the Financial Times of London of Monday, June 11th of the year 2001. This is an article by James Blitz in Rome. It's headlined, Italy's new prime minister appoints right-wingers to coalition government. The article reads in part as follows. Silvio Berlusconi, Italy's new prime minister, yesterday appointed three members of the controversial Northern League to his government, unveiled almost a month after the center-right coalition's general election victory. Naming Italy's 59th government since the Second World War, Mr. Berlusconi said his deputy would be Gianfranco Fini, head of the National Alliance, heirs to Mussolini's black shirts, which now claims to be a party of the mainstream right. Skipping down. More controversially, Mr. Berlusconi said Umberto Bossi, who as head of the Northern League was once committed to the breakup of the Italian state, would be minister for devolution and institutional reform. League members will also head the justice and welfare ministries. Mr. Bossi has recently been criticized by European Union governments for xenophobic remarks that have sometimes seen him compared with the Austrian Freedom Party leader Jörg Haider. But while Mr. Bossi's entry into government will irritate some of Italy's EU partners, it is unlikely to lead to a repeat of the sanctions imposed on Austria last year. Some EU center-left politicians also warned they would take a negative view if Mr. Fini entered government. But others have accepted he has transformed the National Alliance into a party of the mainstream European right. So note again that the National Alliance of Gianfranco Fini, the heirs to Mussolini's black shirts, are part of Silvio Berlusconi's new coalition government. In the aforementioned Miscellaneous Archive Show M61, Why Johnny Can't Identify Il Duce, and in For the Record 229, which reprised a part of that program, we examine Silvio Berlusconi's past. These broadcasts were referring to the 1994 prime ministership of Silvio Berlusconi, and one of the details that most articles about Berlusconi have not mentioned is that Berlusconi was a member of the P2 Lodge, which was a bogus Masonic lodge headed up by Italian fascist and Third Reich liaison officer Licio Gelli, an honored guest, by the way, at Ronald Reagan's inauguration in 1980, and a prime mover in Italian clandestine politics in the post-World War II period. Nicknamed the Puppet Master, Licio Gelli was just that, and Gelli is a major focal point of RFA programs 17 through 21, as well as other RFA shows and many, many For the Record programs, those available from Spitfire. There was an article about Berlusconi's government and some of the aspects of it that have not received as much publicity as they might have. And please note that the deputy prime minister is Gianfranco Fini himself. This is from the Searchlight magazine. The Searchlight is a British anti-fascist publication, not to be confused with the American Spotlight, a very similar name but a diametrically opposite political orientation. This is from the Searchlight's issue of June of 2001, number 312. By the way, you can visit the Searchlight's website at searchlightmagazine.com. That's one word. This is an article by Alfio Bernabei, B-E-R-N-A-B-E-I. It's about Italy. It's titled, Mussolini's Heirs Return to Power. And this article discusses, among other things, Silvio Berlusconi's background in the P2 Lodge. The descendants of Benito Mussolini's blackshirts have returned to power in Italy in the government coalition headed by the television tycoon Silvio Berlusconi, which also includes the xenophobic Northern League. The neo-fascist National Alliance got 12% of the votes and will have about 100 deputies. Its leader, Gianfranco Fini, who was for many years secretary of the Nazi-fascist Movimento Sociale Italiano, founded by Mussolini's heirs, expects to become deputy prime minister. as the country plunges into the moral and ethical abyss of having elected a prime minister who has stood trial several times on corruption charges and is still due to give evidence in mafia-related investigations, the real winners are Feeney's neo-fascists and the cluster of extreme right-wing groups who will feel encouraged to pursue their revisionist agenda, which includes Mussolini and Hitler celebrations, apologia for the SS, and the denial of the Holocaust. Berlusconi as an individual may not survive for long the judge's investigations into his business dealings, the alleged mafia connections, or the arguments surrounding the conflict of interests. But as a political instrument, his victory may have already achieved the strategic task inherited from his corrupt benefactors of the 1970s, including his allies in the P2 Masonic Lodge with their international extreme right-wing links, of keeping buried the secrets of the strategy of tension, unquote, and thus removing any possibility of throwing light onto those who piloted a string of right-wing terrorist attacks, such as the Bologna railway station bombing of 1980, which killed 85 people. By the way, some of the terrorists involved in the strategy of tension were alluded to in the article about Eric Priebke, with which I began this broadcast. The strategy of tension is the focal point of RFA number 19. And there are a number of miscellaneous archive shows and For the Record segments dealing with Operation Gladio, a NATO operation that overlapped the strategy of tension. Continuing with this article, Berlusconi's relentless campaign to denigrate the judiciary, quote, led by communists, unquote, has achieved the weakening of democratic institutions as a whole and made it easier for the neo-fascist National Alliance to maneuver itself into a position of legitimacy. A progressively less vigilant media, generally more preoccupied with the image rather than substance, and inclined to forget the historical lessons of Italy's responsibilities in the Second World War, has contributed to bringing about a situation in which Feeney, nourished by the Nazi fascist ideology, has reached the upper echelon of power, poised to run as the next Prime Minister of Italy if and when Berlusconi falls. The latter's ability to rely on fascists has been clearly demonstrated by the election deal struck in southern Italy with the veteran blackshirt Pino Rauti of Movimento Sociale Italiano Fiamma Tricolori. Rauti, R-A-U-T-I, and other fascists have enjoyed considerable television exposure during the election campaign. Roberto Fiore, the former fugitive from justice and one of the leaders of Terza Posizione, or Third Position, who took refuge in London in the autumn of 1980 and was later sentenced in absentia to prison to many years in prison, told viewers about his anti-immigrant policies and plans to increase the birth rate, apparently to achieve pure Italian or European labor self-sufficiency and thus avoid foreign contamination. Now head of a London-based financial empire, Fiore was able to mount an election campaign with several candidates, including Guido Mussolini, a nephew of the dictator. His Forza Nuova party failed to make an electoral impact, but that was a foregone conclusion. The real aim of the campaign was to propagandize political and religious extremism, train an army of stewards across Italy, and educate them to exploit the climate warmed up by the xenophobic and racist outburst of Umberto Bossi's Northern League, now a member of the government coalition, even if not in a determining role, given that he merely got 4% of the votes. Fascist propaganda is everywhere on the increase in Italy, alongside the Forza Nuova official website, which attacks the, quote, grotesque mythology of anti-fascist resistance, unquote, and the terrorist cowardice of partisans, unquote. Others have sprung up, making available a huge amount of information, some of which is illegal under the largely ignored Mancino Law of 1993. By the way, it was executing those, quote, terrorist partisans, which landed Eric Priebke finally under house arrest. Continuing. Among the material in circulation are 66 questions and answers to teach neo-fascists how to deny the Holocaust, a list of 10,000 Jewish families in Italy, apologias for Nazi leaders, lists of books in defense of those accused in the Nuremberg trials, and links to sites such as the one devoted to the Belgian Nazi criminal Léon de Grelle. By the way, Léon de Grelle was a Belgian Waffen-SS veteran and a key Odessa leader. I alluded to him in For the Record program number 306 in connection with the exposure of a couple of Flemish cabinet ministers or Flemish politicians as members of the Waffen-SS support group, the Sint-Martensfonds. Continuing. Speaking of resuming again with the discussion of Léon Degrelle, the latter is also honored in the website of the National Alliance's Youth Wing. That again, head of the National Alliance, Gianfranco Fini, is currently Deputy Prime Minister. Continuing. No one can blame Berlusconi, Fini, or Bossi for leading their parties to the elections. What remains to be explained is why the electorate favored them. A relatively young country such as Italy, which was united for the first time only in 1861 and was subsequently scarred by 20 years of fascism and 45 years of corrupt Christian democratic rule, has partly lost its civic spine and opted for a mix of cynicism and complacency that can only be a recipe for political instability and dangerous adventurism. It remains to be seen what reaction Italian ministers will receive when they meet other European leaders dismayed by this turn of events. By the way, I would note that Silvio Berlusconi himself is arguably the most important person, single individual, in the Italian media. He is a sort of like the Rupert Murdoch of Italy, and his role in the Italian media infrastructure had a lot to do, apparently, with his election and also with the gradual whitewashing of Italian fascism and its consequent legitimization. Still more about the political milieu that of which Silvio Berlusconi is part. And again, please note that he was part of a section of the P2 Lodge that was involved with the media and that was aiming for a democratic rebirth of fascism. We're going to examine a couple of other articles that were researched and translated for us by Dave White, our pan-European researcher and translator. The first is from L'Espresso of January 11th of the year 2001. This article is headlined, Political Posters of Forza Nuova, and that was authored by Peter Gomez. The article reads in part as follows. Legal, 20 million dead, and by the way, this refers to some historical revisionism trying to basically make fascism out to be relatively benign and maintaining that the number of people killed was far less than that killed by the communists during the period of, well, there's still communist nations around, but during the Cold War and the period leading up to it. Legal, 20 million dead in the USSR, 65 million in China, 1 million in Vietnam, 2 million in North Korea, 2 million in Cambodia, 1 million in Eastern Europe, and 1 million in Afghanistan. Legal, the international communist movement, communist parties in power, around 10,000 deaths. Illegal, patriotism, national identity, Christianity, the family, 50 years of anti-communism. Is this our so-called democracy, unquote? By the way, I would note that there are very similar themes being sounded by the American far-right and American fascist elements as well. Another poster of the Forza Nuova. Don't commit murder. Say no to abortion with Forza Nuova, unquote. In the poster's background is a photo of a fetus illegally reproduced from the famous book A Child is Born by Leonard Nilsen. A pro-Haider poster that refers to Austrian so-called yuppie fascist Jörg Haider, a pro-Haider poster reads, Which Europe do you want? The Lema style, abortion, or free drugs, 200,000 immigrants a year, or Haider style, incentives to mothers of family, national sovereignty, a freeze on immigration. Since this poster appeared, Haider has copyrighted his name to stop politicians in Italy from using it. Last June 22nd, during gay pride celebrations, Fiore organized a meeting at the Hotel Nazionale in Rome under the banner, Italy needs children, not homosexuals, unquote. According to the FN Bulletin, the meeting was also attended by a member of the Christian Democratic Union, that presumably is the CDU of Germany, and the religious ethics advisor to Fini's party, the Alleanza Nazionale. And again, I would note some of the many thematic continuity between American political reaction and the explicitly fascist Forza Nuova of Roberto Fiore, also very closely affiliated with the Terza Posizione, and that's part of the same milieu that embraces or would include Eric Priebke, and would also include Silvio Berlusconi and the incoming fascist government of Italy. The next article is also researched for us by Dave White, and this also is from L'Espresso's issue of January 11th of the year 2001. This also is authored by Peter Gomez, and it's headlined, Black Shirts, here's your fascist Cosa Nostra, unquote. The continual migration from one organization to another is a characteristic common to all militants of the extreme right in Italy. They quarrel among themselves, but they have a single objective: dialogue with Il Polo, the center-right movement led by Franco Frattini of Forza Italia and Calogero Manino of the CDU, and to tip the political balance of power in Italy as the Fronte Nazionale of Le Pen has done in France. By the way, CDU would refer, I guess it's not the reference to the German CDU, but the Christian Democrats in Italy. Continuing with this article, we begin with a look at the galaxy of new groups. And again, new here probably belongs in quotes. I would note that many of these groups are part of the fascist milieu and some of them part of the explicitly designated coalition that is now in power in Italy, headed again by former P2 member Silvio Berlusconi. And a delineation of these groups is as follows. Movimento Sociale Fiamma Tricolori, the strongest ultra-right formation, founded by Pino Rauti, ex-MSI leader and founder of Ordine Nuovo. Fronte Nazionale, founded by Franco Frida, disbanded November 21st on the basis of Mancino Law. Fronte Nazionale Italiano, founded in 1997 by Adriano Tilger, the former leader of Avanguardia Nazionale. In the 98 provincial elections, FNI actually got 25,000 votes in Rome. In Molise, FNI organizes rebel camps where the movement's young men can live a healthy and soldierly life, flag-raising and marching in formation. Forza Nuova, founded by ex-terrorist Roberto Fiore and Massimo Morsello. That, by the way, the Forza Nuova was the organization whose posters were the focal point of the article that I just concluded reading. Please note that Massimo Morsello is one of the people who has been on the receiving end of the philanthropic efforts that have also been extended on behalf of Eric Priebke. And that Morsello and Priebke were the focal point of the first article with which I began this program. Resuming again with the last couple of sentences. In Molise, FNI organizes rebel camps, unquote, where the movement's young men can live a healthy and soldierly life, flag-raising and marching in formation. Forza Nuova, founded by ex-terrorists Roberto Fiore and Massimo Morsello. Within Forza Nuova are the remnants of two skinhead movements that disbanded in 1993. One, the Veneto Fronte Skinhead, founded by Pietro Pusciavo and Ilo Da Depo, that those last names, Pietro, is Pusciavo, P-U-S-C-H-I-A-V-O, and Ilo, I-L-O, capital D-A, capital D-E-P-P-O. The second of these skinhead organizations is Azione Skinhead di Milano. ASM's leader, Duilio Cano, is the current FN secretary in Milan. Cano was always mentioned in probes into the skinhead movement, along with Maurizio Boccacci, founder of another now-defunct movement. The international connections of FN branch to the circuit of the international third position, with groups in Germany, Poland, Romania, Wales, England, and the United States. Certainly all this is not enough to pick up votes. In Europe, FN candidates entered in races have garnered a few hundred votes. Forza Nuova's first political success was in the 1999 mayoral race in Padua. Here, the Forza Nuova maintained excellent relations with the extreme right wing of Il Polo, and Fini had just commissioned the local organ of Alleanza Nazionale. On June 27, 1999, Giustina Destra, the Forza Nuova candidate, faced a local favorite in a very close race. Only 1,149 votes at one point, then Alleanza Nazionale threw 1,500 behind her. Padua is now considered a model by the radical right on how to win a political campaign. Soon after the victory, however, controversy flared up within Alleanza Nazionale. It began later that summer with the arrest for robbery of two Forza Nuova members, Representative Andrea Bordin and 99 municipal candidate Riccardo Baggio. Then, on December 1st of 2000, police discovered fuses and explosives in the home of Lorenzo Stevanello, an alleged accomplice. Finally, on December 22nd, police arrested Andrea Insabato for the attack on the editorial office of Il Manifesto. Insabato is a friend of FN leaders Fiore and Morsello. We discussed Insabato and his attack on the offices of Il Manifesto, and this was seen by a number of political observers in Italy as possibly signaling a return to the strategy of tension. And indeed, by discrediting the judiciary, as noted in the Searchlight article from the June 2001 Searchlight, number 312, discrediting of the judiciary as, quote, led by communists, unquote, that Silvio Berlusconi has been quite successful in doing, not only helped to cover up the many connections of the strategy of tension, but has also helped to whitewash and consequently legitimize the Italian fascist party and helped to pave its way for all intents and purposes, its return to power. We'll be dealing with other aspects of Berlusconi's rise to power in Italy. I would note, however, that one should, in terms of dealing with other broadcasts that I've produced over the years, one should note that Berlusconi's absolutely essential role as the prime mover of Italian media had much to do, apparently, with the perception on the part of the Italian electorate of Silvio Berlusconi. The fact that the guy's basically a crook did not seem to influence him nearly as much as the fact that his media voices were able to make him out to be sort of a dynamic, fairly hip sort of individual. We'll be dealing, we've dealt with Silvio Berlusconi in numerous broadcasts in the past, and we will no doubt be coming back to him in numerous broadcasts in the future. However, we're going to wrap up for the record number 307 right now. I've made allusions to various other broadcasts. They're available from a duplication service, both tapes and CDs, called Spitfire. That's one word, S-P-I-T-F-I-R-E. They're located at P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, capital B-E-N, capital L-O-M-O-N-D, zip code 95005. The email address for Spitfire is mail, M-A-I-L, at spitfirelist.com. There are lists of and description of the various programs available from Spitfire on the Spitfire website at www.spitfirelist.com. By the time most of the member stations that carry this broadcast get it, and consequently by the time you hear this, there will be a detailed and annotated description of For the Record program number 307 in the For the Record section of the Spitfire website, again at spitfirelist.com. Sister station WFMU-FM in Jersey City, New Jersey, has been compiling real audio archives of the For the Record programs. Those are available on two websites. One of them is WFMU.org/Dave Emery, one word, D-A-V-E-E-M-O-R-Y. The other is available on that website, and there are links to both of the WFMU websites that carry real audio For the Record programs in the For the Record section of the Spitfire website, once again, at www.spitfirelist.com. People can email me at my home base station, KFJC-FM, in the South San Francisco Bay Area. They can email me at demory@kfjc.org. This concludes For the Record program number 307. This is the return, Silvio Berlusconi, the return of Il Duce. This is being recorded on June 16th of the year 2001. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.